So let me ask you then, sort of the second part of what's kind of become a topic recently. And I know Jones and Mago have talked about this, and other shows as well. But in your mind, is Swayman at all challenging for that game one start, or are you locked in on Ullmark no matter what?
Yeah, I think he is challenging for that day one start or that game one start because because to give more credibility to the last conversation that we had and more specifically on your side of the argument, they've both been so dynamite this year that I guess to keep it stupid simple, what I would tell you is whoever's playing the best in the last couple of weeks of the season, the last week of the season, like give him game one. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. It's tough. Like, cause the end of the season guys could be sitting, but like, I'll put it this way. If Allmark's last couple of starts are not up to not better than Swayman's, yeah, I'd go with Swayman game one because I'm not afraid to play both guys in the playoffs. I think both guys are going to play in the playoffs. I just wasn't a fan and I'm not a fan of the one-on-one off scenario. But yeah, get whoever has the best hand going into the playoffs. And I would say throughout the playoffs too, you know? So
You
I
know what would be, even more unprecedented than my idea would be a goalie winning the Vezina Trophy and the goaltending Triple Crown and not being his team starter for the playoffs.
what have you done for me lately? It's a regular season award.
Yeah.
But okay, but like I hear what you're saying, but Swayman's been phenomenal.
Right. That's the thing is like it like with all this stuff like it just speaks to how good their guys have been. Like that's not if Swayman starts game one, it's a credit to Swayman. It's not like a knock on Ullmark, I don't think. Unless he like just really sucks the last 2 weeks or something like that, which I don't foresee. But
Not
yeah,
me.
it's like the same thing when we're talking about who sits at forward or defense when they're fully healthy. It's like, well, all of these guys are like earning playing time when they're in the lineup. Like for the most part, everyone who gets in is playing well. So it's not, I don't think guys are going to be losing jobs. It's just there's only so many of them. So guys who deserve to play are going to sit in the playoffs. It's just going to be inevitable with how good and how deep this team is.
Yeah. And by the way, Scott, I don't appreciate you sandbagging me like that. Set me up for failure. No, I mean, look, I will say, like, I think, yeah, I mean, Ullmark would have to let in like 5 goals in like 4 or 5 consecutive games for me to even consider not giving him that game one. But in that hypothetical scenario, it's like, hardware, regular season hardware, if a guy's not playing up to snuff heading into the playoffs, like, it's, I mean, thanks for the Vezina, but like now the real season begins. So whoever gives you the best chance to win game one. And if, because, yeah, anyway. So one other thing I wanted to talk about from the game, Scott, it just somebody wants to bring up in general is Charlie Coyle. And maybe you can give me some thoughts on him this year because he's got 40 points right now and he's on pace to have his second most productive season in the NHL points wise. I think he had 56 points 1 year in Minnesota, but he's been tasked with a much more defensive responsibility this year for the Bruins. A lot of D zone draws, a lot of time in a penalty kill. And so for him to absorb that new role, that new identity, while still finding a way to put up, 40 to 45, 46 points at year's end, maybe more. If you just had some thoughts on the former Boston University Terrier, Charlie Coyle.
Yeah, I think without question, he's playing the best all-around hockey of his career. Like maybe he's played better offensive hockey in the past. You mentioned the 56 points, but this is the best two-way hockey I've seen him play. And I think the defensive improvement, the way he has embraced that more defensive role in penalty killing, basically like in his prime years or like later prime years, kind of almost reinventing his game a little bit, is really impressive. And then just how he's played recently, we talked about like that during that little skid that they had, how many chances, you know, good looks he passed out of. And, you know, I know during one of the games, Nesson, like the Edmonton game especially, Nesson showed kind of like a compilation of a few of them. And it's like, oh, man, like, come on, Charlie, like, you have to shoot. And now the last week plus, like, he has been. He's clearly, either he realized it himself, which may very well have been the case, or there's just like a meeting with the coaches where it's like, look, you get this, like, we need you to shoot. Like, I understand you want to pass, you want to, you know, find the easy tap in, but shoot. And now he is. And just the way he's, you can tell, like, when he's playing confident, because two things stand out. One is how easy it looks for him to protect the puck in the offensive zone, which he's usually really good at no matter what. But then, like, when he's really rolling and, like, feeling his game, you can tell, like, it's, he almost looks like he's toying with guys. And that's how he's looked recently. And then the other is he attacks with speed off the rush, which sometimes can come and go. Like, you know, sometimes they'll maybe slow the play down a little too much, but I feel like you've been seeing more of that as well. And that whole line really, you know, attacking better off the rush. So yeah, he's playing extremely well. And like, this is, you know, I feel like every year when we get to the playoffs, you know, sometimes like we'll do series X factors. And it's like, Charlie Coyle is always one of them because we know how important the third line is. You know, we've had this discussion before, like, when the Bruins have had really good third lines, they go on deep playoff runs. When they don't have a third line, they lose in the first or second round. Like, it's not quite that simple, but that's a big part of the equation. When he's playing like this, you have a really good third line. So that's crucial, and he's been playing like this the vast majority of the season.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have to look any further than the 2019 playoff run to see exactly what he can mean for the Bruins in the playoffs. I mean, they lost game one to the Maple Leafs that year at home, and then Coyle scored the first goal in game two, and the Bruins kind of came out like gamebusters and got the Bruins on the board. And you know, obviously they take care of business that game, and we know what he did against Columbus. He had a great, you know, great game one against Columbus, two goals, including the game winner in overtime. And, you know, he had many, many strong games in that playoff run. He had a really, really, really strong finals too. So, yeah, he's a very important guy for them going forward. And it's good to see him just really evolving. And as you mentioned, reshaping his game, taking pride in what the Bruins have asked him to do, because it's just the evolution of a player, which is great. And last thing for me, Scott, before we take off, and you may have a few other things, I'm not sure, but just if you mind giving a quick update on Nick Foligno and Hall. I know you mentioned off the top that they were skating, but if there's any rumblings around the ninth floor about, you know, certain timelines, and you know, you mentioned Taylor Hall was in the red practice jersey after before morning skate, and then during morning skate, he put the red practice non-contact jersey on. And in the past this year, when guys do that, you've obviously kind of had this little Scott McLaughlin timetable where it's like, once they have the red non-contact jersey in practice, it's like a week before they have the contact jersey, and it's like on a week. I don't know if you still think that applies to this scenario.
Yeah, I mean, it can differ by guy. I think the next things to watch with Hall is they have a full team practice on Wednesday. Is he out for that in the no contact jersey? Because morning skate's one thing, like, you know, they don't really go very hard at morning skates. They're not very, very long. So like, even like, if you go back to the beginning of the season, Brad Marchand was taking part in some morning skates before he was ready to practice with the team, just because that they're lighter and he could do it. So now let's see if Taylor Hall practices with the team, you know, an actual practice, which they have on Wednesday. That will be interesting. And then the next step after that is get out of the no contact jersey. And then the final step, as we've seen this year, of like when a guy's going to play in a game, is they're doing regular drills with a line, you know, like they have a clear spot in the lineup. So, you know, whenever you see Taylor Hall in a no contact jersey taking drills with Charlie Coyle and whether it's Trent Frederick or Tyler Bertuzzi, that means he's about to play in a game. So, you know, I think it with him already on the ice now for a morning skate, like I would be shocked if he's not back before the end of the regular season. Like that's, you know, they've what, 3 full weeks before the regular season's over. It doesn't seem like it would be that long of a buildup from where he is now. You know, Foligno, Emily Kaplan of ESPN, you know, we're going back a couple of weeks, you know, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks now. But her report was that it was looking like 6 weeks out from the injury, which put it right at end of the regular season, start of the playoffs. So I haven't seen or heard anything that would, you know, change that timeline. So I guess I would say I'm still expecting that. Hall had been on the ice skating on his own for about a week before joining them for morning skate today. So it's possible maybe, you know, sometime next week we see Foligno out there with the team. Like it's, and then that kind of gets, you know, that same clock started. So getting closer, the most important thing is they're clearly making progress. So, in Hall, it would seem like is closer. And at this point, I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't get at least a few regular season games in, once he returns.
So what does that mean for the salary cap for the Bruins? Like, is it, what's the difference between both guys coming back in the regular season versus like maybe Foligno comes back in the postseason? Like what's the cap flexibility Sweden's gonna have to do to get these guys both back, or is after the deadline it's just kind of like it's what it is?
Well, I think someone is gonna have to be out until the playoff starts, but that now includes Forbert in that conversation as well. So I think someone has to be on long-term IR until the playoffs. You know, Hall obviously looks like the closest to returning, and he's the one who is actually on long-term IR right now. So there could still be another LTIR move coming where he gets activated off and either Foligno or Forbert goes on. But don't take that for 100%. I believe that's how it has to work, but I am not 1000% sure on that.
Well, that's perfect. That's honestly kind of the note I wanted to leave this podcast on. So, yeah.
we kind of sort of know what we're talking about.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about before we sign off?
No, I don't think so.
All right, perfect. Because you can't really top that last take. So, I'm honestly, I'm sorry to the listeners for even asking that. I'm embarrassed on behalf of the Skate Pod that we couldn't give a finite answer, but you know what? Look, we're speculators. We're not mathematicians. No, we don't pretend to know all the answers, Scott.
Nope.
So, all right. Well, you know what though? What I can tell you is, for the first time in like 17 years, the Canadians are coming to the Garden. So that'll be fun.
It's true. Yeah.
Next game is Montreal versus Boston on Thursday, and we will. We will talk after that game as well. So that will be episode 177. So, Scott, if you have nothing else, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you later this week.